You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Welcome, show number 153. I have to make a correction. I made a mistake last week.
What?
I called my new boat the wrong model.
Oh, okay.
I called it a 255. It's a 257.
Oh, SX.
Right. So, see? You know, it's, we wire it 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Shame on you.
So, now maybe we'll get some name submissions.
Yes, we do. We're still after name submissions for the boat. The ones that we've gotten so far are pretty darn good. I don't know what I did with them, but they were somewhere here.
I did like Bodie McBoatface.
The one guy who sent in, the last one we got in, was one of our listeners sent in, because I'm the man with all the toys, Toy Ahoy.
Uh-huh.
I like that. That was pretty good. I don't know. I liked Pond Pontiac. Was that yours?
Yeah, I think so. It was just a suggestion.
You don't get a bonus or anything.
I know. So we're trying to fish. Throw a few ideas out there for folks.
Oh, we're fishing for a boat name.
There you go.
Oh, gotcha. Perfect.
How about the Classic Auto Mall, and then I can make it a write-off.
There you go.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah. So tax write-offs, we love those. Get the suggestions into us by the 25th by sending to email of podcast at classicautomall.com. I forgot where to send it.
That's very good. How many do we have in inventory today?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
950.
940.
Oh, ooh. I almost said 940.
One of these days, I'm going to give you like something for if you get
last
it.
Last week's guess was 940.
I know, but you should guess differently from time to time, right?
Yep.
So thanks for tuning in and or watching on YouTube. You can find us on AmericasWebRadio.com every Saturday at 10.
10 a.m.
And then
Eastern.
On 860
a.m. and 97.5 HD2.
If you say so.
At 7 a.m. in the Philadelphia region.
WWDB. Yes.
Including
South Jersey. And then, of course, on all the regular podcast sites and on YouTube, which is getting some great traction.
That's where you should listen to the show, watch the show.
Watch, listen. It's more than just a podcast. It's a show.
It's a lifestyle show with pictures and video on YouTube.
And graphics and charts.
Yes. Exactly.
And,
that's right. Maps.
Yeah, we have maps. We have maps of where we've sold cars to, which we'll get to after we have our first guest.
That's right.
So, because our first guest is calling us. It's probably about dinner or so. I don't know
about
what they say.
About 4 o'clock.
It's about 4 o'clock in
across
the pond there in Hampshire, England. Welcome this morning, Alan Cathcart. Good morning, Alan.
Good afternoon, Stuart. It's tea time. It's afternoon tea time in England.
Some trumpets and scones and crumpets and stromes, right? Or scones or whatever they call it.
Yes, or scones. And especially if it's a Cornish green tea with clotted cream and raspberry jam.
Clotted cream sounds like it was left out of the refrigerator too long.
It doesn't. Poultry doesn't taste like that. It's delicious.
Well, I never tried that. I had an English pub down in St. Petersburg, Florida, back in the day after I'd gotten divorced, and which was not a good place to go to from a divorce to a bar. that wasn't a good transition. But and I loved Bangers and Mash, and I loved all the what's the other one?
Toad in the Hole.
Yeah, and the Scottish thing, Scotch eggs, where you actually put sausage around an egg and deep fry it. I like that a lot. So, anyway, welcome to have you on. Great to have you on the show. Alan is a racer, a journalist, an author. You've raced cars and motorcycles. Motorcycles has been your passion more than anything, right?
Yes, true. And I'm one of those incredibly fortunate people, a bit like you, Stuart, by the sound of things, who succeeded in making his passion, his hobby, his livelihood.
Absolutely.
And I'm a law graduate from Cambridge University, but I'm also a reformed lawyer. I went straight and I went into the travel industry for about 12 years. I developed what we call sales incentive programs, sales motivation programs to the UK with major American corporations like Chrysler and RCA Victor. Well, they were major in those days.
Sure.
And we hosted their dealers or associates on trips to Britain. And it was kind of like show business because you had to make them feel that they were doing something they couldn't buy.
Sure.
So go and have afternoon tea at Lenin Palace, which in those days wasn't open to the public.
Right.
But Winston Churchill's birthplace, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then I began racing motorcycles as a hobby, and the hobby became my livelihood.
Isn't that wonderful? It's nice to do that. Like you said, I've had the pleasure of doing that as well. And you're going to be the featured, honored guest at Radnor Hunt Concours d'Elegance, this September.
Indeed so. I'm looking forward to it very much. I've heard a lot about it without ever having attended it before. I have a very close friend, Jeff Cray, who used to live in Bucks County and, would go to Radnor every year to the Concours and was even a judge on two or three occasions. But he sadly now lives in Wisconsin and
poor soul.
Won't be there.
Well, and it's such a great event because it's held at a hunter jumper farm in Chester County, I guess. Is that Chester County, Steve? Yeah. And the cars that they get, they limit it to 100 cars and motorcycles as well, too. John Lawless heads up the motorcycle committee and does an amazing job. He gets motorcycles that you've never even heard of.
Yeah, well, John's the person who kindly invited me to attend as the guest of honor, and I'm looking forward to doing so.
Well, because the featured marks this year are British, and of course, this is the 27th annual Radnor Hunt Concours, held September 6th to the 8th here in Chester County, and radnorconcours.org is their website if you want to buy tickets or find out more about it. But you'll be wandering the field out there talking motorcycles, I imagine.
I guess I will, and I know I've already got a lot of my many friends in New England who are going to be attending. It's going to be nice to have the chance to meet up with them. Some of them I haven't seen for quite a while. And it'll be interesting to see what motorcycles have been selected for the show.
Sure. And you have a connection here. You wrote a book about a gentleman who is from this area.
Indeed so. Dr. John Whitner, a former dentist from Philadelphia, who sadly passed away in February this year, but who before that built the most amazing Moto Guzzi, Italian Moto Guzzi race bikes, with which he defeated the much bigger, stronger Ducati factory bikes. And also, I have to say, the British Northern Triumph twins and American Harley Davidsons.
Right.
And this was in what used to be called the Battle of the Twins, Pro Twins now it's called, class, which was an AMA National Road Race Championship event in the 1980s.
Right.
And, 70s and 80s. So it was a means by which anybody who didn't have a four-cylinder Japanese motorcycle could race competitively, usually with a European or an American twin. And John produced the Dr. John's Guzzis. And I was fortunate to be able to ride each of those for a Trackfest article. Even asked me to race one once for him in the Isle of Man TT. But
wow.
If you can believe that, I got my entry in, we were accepted, but the ship that was transporting them across the Atlantic, unfortunately, ended up in Copenhagen, Denmark, rather than Liverpool, England.
Oh.
And the bikes never arrived, so I never raced them. But John was a great guy, wonderful person, and as I say, sadly passed away in February this year. But I was hugely relieved to know that he had seen a copy of the book before he died.
That's great. So, yeah. Did what made his bikes faster? Or were they lighter than the others? I mean, they were less power, right?
Yes. High cam, short pushrod engine rather than an overhead cam motor. Just a lot of very, very clever Dr. John's touches. he was a great acolyte of Alessandro De Tomaso, who many car people, automobile people will know as the founder, obviously, of De Tomaso Automobiles, but and also the curator of Maserati for many
years.
Sure,
I'd forgotten that, yeah.
Mm, but De Tomaso owned Moto Guzzi, and he was looking for a way to try to find the make it relevant in today's sporting, well, those days sporting arenas. And Dr. John, out of his own pocket, had developed this motorcycle to AMA championship winning level, Doug Bronek won the championship for Dr. John Scutzi in 1987. And the result was that Alessandro De Tomaso took Dr. John under his wing and ended up employing him in Moto Guzzi factory in Mandello, Italy, for several years.
A dream gig for him, right?
Absolutely.
So did you ever get to race the Isle of Man?
Yes, I'm honored to say that I have done so and survived.
Yes.
I finished fourth once, fifth once, eighth, and ninth.
Wow.
But I also crashed twice in places where other people were sadly killed.
Right.
So I was thankful to the good Lord for having spared me. It's an incredible event, but I raced there in the 70s and 80s. When doing the 100 miles an hour average speed, average lap, was an incredible achievement. To conceive of lapping at 135 miles an hour average speed nowadays around a 37 3/4 mile circuit, which goes up the side of a 1400 foot mountain and back down to sea level through two quite large towns, is just amazing.
And in talking to people that have ridden it, they say that you have to know every turn, every bump, everything. It takes a lot of you just don't go out there and just go, here I go, and away you go. That's not how it works.
You cannot, and especially now at the speeds the bikes are moving at. But I was fortunate to be able to spend a lot of laps on street bikes learning the course, and also getting people who had raced there successfully in many cases to teach me, take me around in the van, get out and walk the course.
Sure.
And there are certain corners where you cannot see where the correct line is until you get out and do that.
Right. Which you don't want to learn at 100 and whatever miles per hour you're going.
Precisely.
Anyway, when we return, see, I told you how quick this would go. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Alan Cathcart on the Classic Auto Mall show. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
Stock number 6337 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is a recently restored 1955 Chevrolet Bel Air four-door sedan that's been owned and garaged by the same person for the last 65 years. This classic is covered in Glacier blue paint with India ivory roof, giving it a wonderfully understated and original appearance. It has a rebuilt 235 inline six-cylinder and a three-speed manual, three-on-the-tree shifter with drum brakes on all four corners, and looks like it may have emerged from a showroom in the fall of 55. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Classic Auto Mall's inventory is fluid and vehicles described may not be available at time of broadcast. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Easily search for your next classic at ClassicAutoMall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, talking to our new friend, Alan Cathcart, over in across the pond in Hampshire, England. You're not far from Goodwood, are you?
Indeed not, and that's one of the reasons why my wife and I moved here about 10 years ago, because I'm 40 minutes from the Duke of Richmond's estate at Goodwood, and I competed there in the racetrack that he has to the side of his house, and I've raced each year in the Goodwood Revival, which is, I think, the world's premier historic car and motorcycle race meeting. Sure. As well as the Festival of Speed that he has each year up the driveway of his house in July, which is a vast motoring garden party. And now, for the last, I think, 8 years, he's been running a third race meeting, or third event, in April, and it's called the Members Meeting, and this is a recreation of the club races that his father used to stage at Goodwood Circuit.
Sure. Well, of course, if it's not on your bucket list, and I don't consider you a true car guy, if you've never been to Goodwood, you got to go. I haven't been yet. I want to go. But what I've talked to people that have been there and have participated there is they say that that's an intimidating – any of the events there are intimidating because they feel like there's so many eyes on you, much more so critiquing what you're doing more than maybe a regular race.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's a huge sense of camaraderie.
Sure.
In case of the revival, the Duke wasn't allowed to, well, actually, he was still the Earl of March then.
Right.
26 years ago, I can't remember when. I think it was 1998 was the first one. And the motor circuit had been, built out of a World War II, RAF airfield runway, which they constructed on the Duke's land, as part of coastal defenses against the Nazis. And after the war, the land was returned to the Duke, but all concreted over.
Right.
And his son was a car racing fan, had been a Brooklands regular before the war, and he marked out a track with hay bales and rubber cones, and they started racing. And same thing happened to Silverstone, although it was obviously not the Duke that did that.
Sure.
And our two most iconic circuits in British car racing and bike racing were both ex-World War II airfields.
Right.
Silverstone was owned by the British Racing Drivers Club, and they got the Formula One Grand Prix race from, I think, 1950 onwards. And Goodwood got the equivalent of the Le Mans 24 Hours for sports cars.
Right.
And that was the Goodwood 9 Hours, which placed each year. They also had non-championship Formula One races staged there. And it's funny to think that there were such things back then,
right.
But indeed so. But in 1967, Duke of Richmond was told by the REC that he had to line his track with metal barriers to prevent cars running off into the undergrowth. And he refused. He said, no, I won't do that. But Your Grace, we won't be able to give you a track license. That'll be your loss. And he offered to plow the land and to make the runoff, and they turned him down.
Wow.
This is all part of Jackie Stewart's completely wrong-minded attempt to prevent cars going off into ditches,
sure,
public road circuits and so on. So Goodwood was shut down from 1967 until 1998. And when the present Duke got the license back again, he started having a historic racing. And we in the paddock were all asked to wear pre-1967 clothing, which, of course, our wives and girlfriends thought was wonderful because, darling, I need three new dresses, one for each day.
Of course.
And, well, the first year we did that. And the public came, and it was extremely popular, very successful from the very beginning. And next year, about 60% of them thought, well, I can do that too. And they came back in completely involuntarily pre-1967 clothing.
Nice.
The next year, 98% came.
Wow.
And that's what happens now. So it's a true walk down memory lane in every way.
Oh, that's so fantastic. And I'd love to see the period correct stuff like that. Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. Two things. Number one, is it Sir Alan?
I wish it were, but so far the King of England has not yet crossed my shoulder with a sword.
That's how they do it, right? They have to do
that. That's right.
Yeah.
The nickname came from the editor of Superbike magazine in Britain, Grant Leonard. The reason is because I'm a rather unusual kind of person to be a motorcycle journalist. Like I said, Cambridge graduate.
Sure. Lawyer.
A rather public school background, a reformed lawyer. But so he started calling me Sir Al in print, and it just caught on.
That's so funny. You know, it's, and if I understand correctly, you rented a Ferrari Dino from an Avis rent-a-car place in England and raced it? This sounds like Shelby Mustangs from the day.
Yes, I'm afraid it's true.
I hope the statute of limitations is gone from that.
Hopefully. This is honestly true. I was about to turn 30, and I was extremely upset at the advent of what I saw as middle age. So I decided to do something at the age of 30 that you could only do at the age of 30 and you couldn't do when you're 29. And in those days, Avis UK did indeed rent Ferrari Dinos from their Marble Arch London office to anybody age 30 or more. So there was a race meeting each year, which I used to go to, run by the MCC, the second oldest motorcycle club, which still exists today. And they combined car and bike racing on the same day.
Wow.
At Silverstone. So I entered my Ducati 750 SS green frame production racing motorcycle, and I went to Avis and rented a Ferrari Dino from them, and drove that down to Silverstone with my wife, well, my girlfriend then, right. Future wife Stella, and my American friend Jeff Craig, that I shared a flat with in London. He rode the Ducati down. I raced the Ducati. I think I came third in the race, got a nice trophy. And I entered the Ferrari Dino in two events. One was the 25-minute high-speed trial.
Right.
And you had to do X number of laps in 25 minutes. And I did X minus one. So I got a second-class award. And so I got a trophy.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
I also entered it in the GT, the Grand Touring race. Thinking that I would be able to just get on the back of the grid and drive around, and that would be it. In those days, chaps were much more gentlemanly on track. It was not a contact sport like it is now.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, they put me on the second row of the grid, and because there was no time for qualifying, you just got given one session of practice and then you raced. I had a road-going sports car. Oh, Alan, I thought you had one of those 246 SP sports racing Ferraris. That's why I put you there. Never mind. You'll be all right.
Right.
And let's just say that when the flag dropped, I immediately headed right to the side of the road and let all the fast guys pass me. And I wasn't last.
Right.
I did beat a couple of other people, but I'm afraid the brakes were absolutely fried by the end
I can only imagine. It's interesting that Ferrari was renting cars like that back in the day. You know, of course, like the Hertz was doing the GT350 Shelbys and people were racing them and all that. You said something interesting that I loved, doing the ton, and that's breaking the 100-mile-per-hour barrier, right?
Yes, that's right. For the first time, I did that on a, strangely, not on a modern motorcycle. I did it on a 1937 Rough Superior SS100. I bought that again. My best friend Jeff Craig, an American, had come over to race motorcycles in the UK, which is how we teamed up. And we were coming back from a Brands Hatch practice day, and so we had a beat up old Ford Transit panel van with sliding doors.
Right.
And we were going through Tooting, South London, on the way back to our flat in Ealing. And I was going past a guy unloading bikes from a van that was driving. Jeff shouted, "Stop!" Yeah, I stopped. And he slid the door back and he's beetled off back to this guy with the bikes. And I found somewhere to park and discovered him deep in conversation with this very shiny chrome tank B-twin. And deep in conversation with the guy who's owning it, who was a man called Brian Verrill, who was Britain's top dealer in classic racing motorcycles. And this turned out to be a B-twin engine Rough Superior that he just collected from a deceased estate. And Jeff said, I can't get over this. I never thought I'd see a Brew Superior. I recently sold my racing car. I did everything backwards. I started racing cars first before bikes. I did vintage and classic bikes before super bikes, etc. So I just sold my racing car, and I had just over £1,000 in my bank account. And Beryl was selling the Brough Superior for £995. In those days, it's worth probably upwards of £250,000 today.
Sure.
$1,000. And I bought it intending that Jeff should, when he had the money, he would buy it off me, give me the same amount and buy it. He'd own it, which did indeed happen, but not before I wanted to see myself whether the SS100 tag really was justified, because that was the model name indicating that it could be tested at 100 miles an hour or better in 1937.
Wow, that's fast.
I can only say that going down to the A2 towards Maidstone one afternoon, I did indeed do 100 miles an hour, indicated on the Smith's chronometric.
Was it doing that when you were there? Was it bouncing around, right? Those motorcycles were the best of the best, right? I mean, they were, even to this day, they're considered as great a motorcycle as there ever was, right?
They were the first true superbikes. Vincent owners always like to claim it was that Vincent was the first bike, but the Vincent was only invented in 1936.
Right.
And then Brough Superiors have been racing for 15 years very successfully.
And another,
they were wonderful bikes.
Another great bike that you rode was the 1916 Harley-Davidson 8-valve board track racer. Wow. And I read something funny. Not too often that a manufacturer deliberately priced a product out of the reach of the public by making it so expensive. That's
absolutely
great.
True. It had to be a commercially available motorcycle.
Right.
And the last thing that Harley-Davidson wanted was people to actually buy it. And they would then be forced to supply parts and everything else for it. So they tried to price it out of the realms of commercial sale. Unfortunately for them, there were enough rich people around that they bought them.
Right.
And a good friend of mine in Australia, has Peter Arundel, has one of those bikes when he let me ride it on the Broadford circuit outside Melbourne.
Wow, how great is that? And you know, you got to say, when you look at the Harley, I mean, that was a difficult bike to ride. You couldn't just hop on it and go. You needed to know sequences and clutches and timing and this and that.
And also make allowance for the fact that it had very little in the way of brakes.
Right, yes. Not fun.
Broadford had two nice straights, so I could gallop along with it.
You know, and another couple of things that I'd read that was so interesting is that two more sayings that I read either in your books or in articles, proving your bona fides, and the other one was giving it the berries.
Well, these are very, how can I put it, established British epithets.
Yeah.
Giving it the berries means cracking it wide open as hard as you can go. And I don't know where the berries came from. I must look that up.
Yeah, giving it the berries.
Well, bona fides is a good legal term, which I learned at university.
Sure.
Good faith that you're who you claim to be.
Well, and my favorite thing is your statement that losing your velocity virginity on the Brough Superior.
Yes.
That's so great.
Well, it had to happen sooner or later, and I did it. In a memorable way on a memorable motorcycle.
Can you imagine in 1937 going 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle? I mean, I know it was even difficult when you did it, but back then that kind of speed wasn't even available in hardly anything, right?
No, it's true. T.E. Lawrence of Arabia, who was the man most closely associated with the Brough Superior brand, had seven of them in succession. And unfortunately, passed away on one in a crash that was still to this day never plausibly explained.
Right.
Lawrence would come and pick up a new bike up from the Brough Superior factory in Nottingham, England, and he would take off for the weekend, and he'd come back on Monday morning with 1,000 miles on the clock, and the tires completely worn. And he would tell George Brough, the owner of the company, how many times he'd exceeded 100 miles an hour and where.
Wow.
Brave man.
And when you bought one of those, you got a certificate from the owner stating that this bike had been tested to go over 100 miles per hour.
That's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
That was bona fides.
Well, yeah. Proving the old bona fides, wasn't it? Right. Well, listen, this has been a delight, and we went way over the time, and I hope we didn't keep you from something, tea or crumpets or scones.
You've now inspired me to go and put the kettle on.
Okay. Fantastic. And I can't wait to meet you in person at the Radnor Hunt Concours coming up in a couple of weeks. Alan Cathcart, thank you again for being on the show. We love visiting with you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks very much for inviting me, Steve. Goodbye.
Take care.
Stock number 6321 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is a beautiful, modernized 1971 Ford Bronco with a 302 cubic inch V8 and a Holley Sniper electronic fuel injection, putting out 316 horsepower with a 4-speed automatic transmission and a Ford 9-inch Posi Traction rear with 411 gears. It has a removable top, 1.5-inch suspension lift, and a 1-inch body lift. Textured bed liner covers the undercarriage with coil spring suspension up front and leaf springs in back. It also has headers, single exhaust, and a Flowmaster muffler, and even has vintage air to keep you cool on those hot summer days. One more thing. You simply couldn't build this Bronco for the list price. So if you're looking for a turnkey show truck with all the modern conveniences and fun you'll need for a lifetime, consider this fine Ford. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Classic Auto Mall's inventory is fluid and vehicles described may not be available at time of broadcast. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Easily search for your next classic at ClassicAutoMall.com.
If you want to see exciting fish, insects, and reptiles, you'll want to visit the Classic Auto Mall. Where else can you see hornets, honeybees, super bees, living in peace and harmony with stingrays, barracudas, tiburon, which means sharks, cobras, and vipers, as well as beetles. And we don't mean the band. So if you come to Classic Auto Mall, you can see everything there is to see for free, and we won't bug you.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783, or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall stand. I'm about to scare you there.
I didn't realize. I was getting into the music.
Well, you can get into it. But
Pot that down. There you go. Very nice.
Very nice. What a great guest.
And wow. And by the way, our longest distance guest ever.
And we were just talking off air about how amazing that 20 years ago, this would have required satellite link-ups and hookups and banks of computers and people on both coasts and, you know, over the pond and people there and all kinds of lighting. And now we just knock it off like it's no big deal. We're talking to a guy from England.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I know.
Does the signal go under the ocean? Is that where the signal goes?
It goes in the cloud.
No. Doesn't it go under the ocean?
That's it.
Fiber optic? I still think so. Maybe. Fiber optic.
Under the
ocean?
They laid a whole fiber optic cable across the ocean.
different. Wow. Yeah.
How do you fix it? I mean, where do you find the broken spot if there's an issue? Or I don't get that.
Why don't they put a bullet train down there?
Well, maybe they are. Maybe they will. Yeah. Why don't you call your people about that? Yeah. So where did we sell cars to last week?
Where?
How about Browntown, Michigan, Strasburg, Pennsylvania, Yadkinville, North Carolina, Phoenix, Maryland, Robertsdale, Alabama, St. Simons Island, Georgia, Clairton, Pennsylvania, San Antonio, Texas, Detroit, Michigan, Solgen, Switzerland, San Pedro, California, North Attleboro, Massachusetts, Philadelphia, by golly, Pennsylvania, Sinking Spring, Pennsylvania, Sanatoga, Pennsylvania, Lowellville, Ohio, Fairfield, Texas, Broomall, Pennsylvania.
Did the one in Switzerland have snow tires with it?
No, it was a Chrysler 300.
The great car.
Oh, it really is.
I wanted that one.
I know. I like that car. That's a 62 Chrysler 300H.
Beautiful car.
Really amazing car. And going to a good home, the guy's a real car guy over there, which is really, really cool. And we're, and again, thanks to Alan Cathcart for spending some time with us and, great guy, and there's so many. We could do five shows with him of all the stuff that he's done in the motorcycle. You know, he used to test all the racing motorcycles back in the day, the Hondas and the Ducatis, and he would write articles about them. Mm. He was kind of their, you know, the go-to guy for everybody. Wow. And one time he wrote a pretty bad review about a Honda, and I guess Soshiro Honda or whomever said, they were like, well, we shouldn't use him. He's going to trash our motorcycle. And he said, no, it wasn't a very good bike to begin with. So he was right. He'll do the right thing and he'll always be honest.
It takes a special breed to ride motorcycles at speed.
Oh my gosh.
And man of, what is the man?
Isle of Man. Man, have you watched that?
Oh yeah. That's crazy.
It's really, really
different
crazy.
Breed.
What's it called when you go over 100?
Doing the ton.
I did the ton with my Honda 750. Speaking of Hondas,
ooh, that's going fast. And then proving your bona fides. I love that. And giving it the berries.
Yep.
My grandmother used to say when somebody was a little different, like one of my friends, she'd say, "That boy has the peculiars."
My dad used to say, "That's the berries."
See, I never heard any of those, so I figured Alan would know if anybody. So. some of the new arrivals. How about the 1963 Mercury Comet convertible? Now, this is an affordable classic. Mm-hmm. It's a convertible, checks all the right boxes. It's got it's a white over red. It's a nice color combination. Very original example. It's got the inline six, which is okay. Plenty of power for that car.
Sure.
It's not like you feel like, oh, God, this thing is 200 mm-hmm. power. It's not at all. And, of course, the styling was pretty cool. And they were plain-looking, sort of like we talked about last week, like the Novas and mm-hmm. What were the other?
Falcons.
The Falcons. Just, they were kind of boxy-looking mm-hmm. in a cool way.
Yeah.
The El Caminos back in the day were as well, too. So, and then, of course, its twin, the 63 Ford Falcon Futura convertible, mm-hmm. brick red over black, sporty drop-top mm-hmm. driver it is, 260 cubic inch two-barrel V8 mm-hmm. and a four-speed top-loader manual. Got good bones, as it's said in the description. I don't know where that came from. And then this thing, the next one.
Oh, yeah.
The 2024, I guess it's a 2024. It doesn't have a make or model.
I think it was built in 23 or 24.
It's a 2024 custom rock crawler.
Yes.
This thing looks like it could climb over our building. Without even taking a breath.
You know, we have a little of everything here at Classic Auto Mall.
We do.
This is a really unusual vehicle. I don't think we've ever had a rock crawler.
No, I don't believe we have. I
don't know how many we'll have in the future. But
green metallic over black and orange, full custom build. I mean, this thing is, every part of it is a brand new part. That didn't came off.
That's right.
I'm going to have to go to the YouTube channel to see what this thing looks like.
Didn't come off of, no parts probably came off a manufactured vehicle, right? This is all just parts and extras.
Custom built.
350 cubic inch ramjet V8, 12K remote worn winch, front and rear steering, pull down winches, Rockwell axles. This thing is bad to the bone.
It's purpose built.
Yeah.
And I think I make reference to Matt's off-road recovery in the description, and that's a YouTuber who's got like 2 million views. He rescues cars in Utah from canyons and
my sister's favorite show.
Mine too. I love it. And you see rock crawlers on it. That's the only other place I've seen them other than in this mall.
It's interesting to see one around here because there's not that kind of competitive rock crawling, if you will, or even sand dunes
that's
to
right.
go. You know, where are you going to go ride this
it's
thing?
It's true. I mean, there are sort of mountain trails, and I guess you could take it there.
I guess so.
Different grades, but
probably might get scolded by the local Jardarms.
Yeah, probably.
Other new arrival this week: 1966 Buick Skylark GS hardtop, Silver Mist, and Regal Black over Black. This is one cool car.
Yeah,
401 cubic inch Wildcat V8. This is the gentleman's muscle car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like the Grand Prix and the Skylark from this era, and you know, some of these other cars that were, you know, the Impala, had lots of power, but were, you know, a little more luxurious and comfortable than, say, a Camaro in the late 60s or even some of the, you know, the Malibus and the Chevelles in the early, mid 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing, 2-speed automatic. And it's got power brakes, which is nice.
It's a bonus.
It's a real bonus.
This is a what I call a lottery car. That if I won the lottery, this one would be in it. I just love these old square body Buicks,
and they're great drivers.
Good drivers.
You know,
beautiful car.
Pontiacs and Buicks, for some reason to me, drove about as good as any car, including Cadillacs or Lincolns. Actually, better than Lincolns, without question. Mm-hmm. Cadillacs were pretty close, and the three there they just drove nice. They were just. It's funny. I was talking to somebody who I'll let you in later. Anyway, his dad drove a car that you wouldn't expect. He drove an Oldsmobile Toronado because he's used to driving race cars and fast cars and cars that are loud and smelly and oily. And
yeah.
A Toronado, you just get in, put it in drive, and away you go. And sometimes that's a plus.
Yeah. Great driving car.
Yeah. And other new arrival, the 2020 Chevrolet Camaro Yanko SC Stage 1 hardtop. God, this thing is nuts. Rally green metallic over medium ash gray, one of 25 built, 11,000 actual miles, 1,000 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic Yanko style, near showroom fresh. And Yanko opens back. Yanko goes back into the late 20s. They had a Durant dealership, which became Chevrolet back in the day. And then, of course, they were the ones who figured out the loophole on how to order cars from Chevrolet and General Motors and check a box and get a bigger engine that they were not supposed to be able to get, because there was a edict that came down from corporate that said you can't put a 427 in a series or a generation one Camaro. And he figured a way around that with the central office production order, where you check the right boxes, and the guy on the factory floor just went, well, that doesn't seem right, but it's supposed to be the 427, so let's just stuff her in there, and away we go.
That's Build sheet says it.
Build sheet says it, so it must be so. And, of course, the Yankos went on to become the most coveted Camaros out there, and regularly bring $200,000, $300,000, $400,000
Easily.
When they're an equal counterpart, might bring $50,000 because of that. It great cars and what an iconic thing. And of course, they were in Bentleyville in Pennsylvania,
right here.
It's a lot of car stuff that happened.
It is. The building's still there. Apparently, I don't know. I think it's an art museum now, but the Yanko dealership is still there.
And, you know, 1,000 horsepower in a car.
Oh, yeah. The thing's a beast.
And people, we talked about last week, the new ZR1's got 1,000 horsepower, and the new Lamborghini's got 1,000 horsepower.
Right.
The new Lamborghini is $980,000. This Yanko Camaro, but the same horsepower, a little bit less.
Yes. Considerably less.
And now the one that is coveted by everyone here to be their daily driver is the 2010 Porsche Panamera S. Everybody loves this car.
It's a good-looking car.
It's a good-looking car. It's one of those ones. It's reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of bang for the buck. It's fun to drive. I mean, it's the S model, so it's got the 4.8-liter DOHC V8, double overhead cam, if you will, a dual-clutch 7-speed automatic, 55,000 miles. So not low, but not high.
Right.
Porsches are pretty bulletproof. They'll run quite a few miles. Not many people put that many miles on them, but that's okay.
Yeah, and the back seat of this thing is very comfortable. It's amazing. Full-size adults, no problem.
A full-size adult, and no issues whatsoever.
Yep.
When we return, we'll talk about some more car stuff here on the Classic Auto Mall Show in just a couple of minutes. See you then.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
Classic Auto Mall is located not far from Audubon, Pennsylvania, named after James Audubon, the famous ornithologist. And there's probably no better place for bird watching. Look there, a flock of thunderbirds. Of course, who doesn't love the powerful firebirds? Studebaker lark and hawks, Buick skylarks, plus AMC eagle, and the difficult-to-catch roadrunner. Oh, there's no better place for bird watching than Classic Auto Mall.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com. Or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio. Listening to our friend Pat Travers, who was just in Knoxville, Tennessee the other day.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
How about that?
anybody?
I mean, he performed in Knoxville.
He performed in Knoxville.
He wasn't just passing through.
No, well, he could have been passing through. He passed through after he was done performing.
I don't think I'd recognize him if I bumped into him on
you
the
wouldn't?
Street. No.
Oh, well, that's a shame. You should do your homework on that. This will first air August the 10th, 2024. I think he was there August the 2nd or 3rd or something. I wanted to go, but I waited too late and forgot it was too late and didn't get to go. So, hey, last week we talked about our buddy Steve Mignante and his GoFundMe page. I don't know what it's up to as of today. I know he's got encephalitis and the medical bills. He had to sell his cars and his house and probably his diecast.
Maybe not
collection.
Anymore, according to the
GoFundMe. It was at $431,000 last week. But if you get a chance, Google Steve Mignante GoFundMe page, and if you can spare a little extra change or whatever for him, that would be great. Because great guy, very knowledgeable, great friend of the hobby, great friend of our show. He was a guest on the show a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Has it been that
long? Yes, it has been a couple of years. It's on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah.
If you want to watch that interview.
Yeah, I would think so. If you go to YouTube and type in Classic Auto Mall, Steve Mignante.
Good guy.
And Mignante is not like it sounds. It's M-A-G-N-A-N-T-E. So,
right.
But if you get a chance, check that out. I just read that Recaro Seats filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Oh, really?
But you got to think that any of those aftermarket companies that used to be so popular back in the 70s and 80s, I mean, who needs an aftermarket stereo now when you got these massive stereos that these cars put in? They don't want you to buy them. There's no reason to buy an aftermarket stereo or aftermarket seats or aftermarket, for that matter, wheels even.
It's true.
I mean, a lot of people still buy, but BBS wheels just filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. So two companies, Recaro Seats. I love the rainbow colored ones.
That
were so cool.
No, you were the man if you had those.
I wanted to build a Camaro from the ground up. Take a plain Jane 75, 77 Camaro and make it a canyon carver, we would call
it. Right,
right. It was a road machine, wide tires, flared fenders.
Oh, sure.
Everything that you can have in a Recaro Seats, all the engine upgrades that you can have, an Alpine cassette player back in the day.
Yep.
Or a Nakamichi. That was the really cool
one.
Yeah. High-end. That was high-end stuff. The high-end stuff. And the
is it ADS, where the box speakers that you had, and they were literally, they were on mounts in the back of where your 6x9s would normally
right.
The triaxles. Yeah. Jensen triaxles.
Oh, is that what they were called?
Well, those were those. These were ADS box speakers, and you could unscrew them from the little post that held them in there, and you could take them out and put them on the roof of your car.
Right,
and
right.
You had an instant party.
I remember those.
And but no, I always wanted, and Recaro seats were on the top of the list, and a manual 5-speed. Back then, it would have been a Doug Nash 5-speed made manuals. And then Doug Nash made manuals, or 4+3 for the Corvettes. Remember those?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
They had that 4+3.
Yep. On the C4s.
Yeah, on the C4s. That was the C4, wasn't it?
Yep.
Those were really cool. And we, I don't know, did we talk about it last week, but John Force is finally out of rehab.
I don't think we mentioned it.
Yeah. I know you had brought it up, and we're wishing him the best.
We do.
Man, oh man, oh man, what a crash that was. He's lucky to survive that.
Sure.
You know, 80.
Maybe he'll hang it up now. I mean, I'm just wondering. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying maybe he will.
I would.
I think that would be my wake up call. But you know, guys like him are not, they're built different. They're built different.
Right.
They're a different breed.
Yep.
And I think that a guy like him will probably never give up. He'll either die in a race car or he'll die on his way to being in a race car. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of it.
Yeah, from somebody that left turns in front of him. That would be the irony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, after he's done that a few times himself. We didn't get to last week also about some of the great cars that are coming up in Monterey in the next couple of weeks. Actually, it'll be next week Monterey starts.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't get my plane ticket yet.
Sorry. You better hurry because, you know, they're more expensive closer to the day. So, in case you didn't know that, they've got some serious Ferraris for sale.
Do they?
Oh, my God. They've got them. And then, of course, they've got a Ferrari Formula F1 car from 2002, $8 to $10 million estimate. And then they got a 2006 McLaren Mercedes Formula One car, estimated $2.8 to $3.5 million. There's four Vectors.
Oh my gosh!
At RM, four of them.
Four? What people? Yeah. It was a unloading Vectors?
I don't know. It's got to be the same guy, I would guess. That's,
really?
That's selling four Vectors.
How many Vectors did they make? Not
very many. Yeah. That was a whole weird deal.
That was a cool car, though.
Yeah, it was a very cool car, twin turbo V8. They were going to compete with Lamborghini and Ferrari, and it's not that they didn't compete. I just don't think they had enough money,
right?
Or they didn't anticipate how much money they would need. Maybe it was the better way.
Is there one? Somebody has one in a museum around here. I don't know if it's Mascaro or
Jerry Weigert is the one who built these things, and his desire was to build a fighter jet on four wheels. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted. And these things had in 1993 the list price $765,000.
Yeah, wow.
So there's two 93s, a 91, and a 96, all for sale. So good luck with that. That's at RM. Broad Arrow's got a 2003 Ferrari Enzo, 4.5 to 5 million. That would have been a nice investment. Mm-hmm. I think you could have bought one of those for a little cheaper in 03. Yep. But how about this? Broad Arrow's also got a 1913 Mercer 35J runabout, 2.5 to 3 million.
Really?
I mean, this is like a bare bones, like you see Corky Coker and his guys running, or like you see.
Yeah, we have.
Actually, a Peerless we have right over there. Mm-hmm. And an Overland?
Yeah, the Overland. One? That's right.
Yep.
Good memory.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's right.
Meekum's got a, and these are all upcoming cars at Monterey coming up, which is like the where I should be, but I never am.
Yeah.
It's too long to be gone.
It's a bucket list.
It's a bucket list thing. Meekum's got a 1969 Ford GT40 lightweight, one of 10 factory competition lightweights, original engine, chassis, and transaxle. So rare, desirable, you know, cool, checks all the boxes.
Everything.
I mean, what's it going to bring? I don't know. It doesn't even have an estimate on it, which is kind of scary. They also have a 69 Dodge Hemi Daytona, one of 22 produced with a 4-speed original 426 Hemi. And they've got a 70 Hemi Cuda convertible.
Okay. One of 14.
Yeah. I mean, they just don't exist.
That's a seven-figure car.
All day long. Mm-hmm. Seven-figure plus. Yeah. If that's the way to put it. And then, of course, BMW 507, which we had one here not too long ago. Not for sale, but we had one visit us.
Mm-hmm, cool.
Those are so cool. And then a true 71 Ferrari 365 GTS Ford Daytona Spider. Most of the convertible Daytonas you see were aftermarket done.
Yes.
They weren't factory.
That's right.
Daytona Spiders. And this is one of 122 produced. Four-time a Platinum Award winner at Cavallino, which is it's the Super Bowl for Ferraris.
Mm-hmm.
Just an amazing car. And then Meekum's also got a Scarab
Formula One car, one of three produced, Lance Reventlow's company back in the day. And it was America's first Formula One car. I mean, these things are so, I have a model of that.
Do you?
I think Meisterbrau was the sponsor of those, cool. the beer company. Yeah. Meisterbrau, B-R-A-U.
Yum.
And one of the final 959 Porsches is at Bonhams. Listen to this. Bonhams has also got a DeLorean, DMC 12. Okay. 1,200 miles from noon.
Wow.
They're out there. They're definitely out there.
But maybe the piece de resistance is the 1938 Alfa Romeo 8C 2900B Lungo Spider.
Wow.
Estimate $16 to $20 million. Hmm. Once owned by our neighbor, our former neighbor, Dr. Simeon, who's no longer with us. Never offered at a public auction. And then, of course, Gooding's got the 61 Ferrari 250 GT short wheelbase California Spider. 15 to 17 million. Isn't that crazy?
Hmm.
It's just hard to believe that there's enough people to buy these cars. Gooding and Company, which is a great auction house, they all are, has 46 of their 186 vehicles offered for sale that are estimated over $1 million.
Wow.
46.
It's amazing. Yeah, the hobby is alive and well. And somebody has Sammy Hagar's LaFerrari.
That's coming up at Barrett-Jackson in September. They're doing another event. I think it's September. We'll have to look up the date on that. We'll tell you next week. But Barrett-Jackson's doing another Scottsdale auction. So they do their one in January that they've been doing for 40, 50 years now. And now they're going to do another one in September, a smaller version. And Sammy Hagar's LaFerrari is the feature car in an odd cream color.
Yeah. I think it was all custom ordered. I remember when he got it and he went there and they fitted him with the seat. The seat was fitted to Sammy Hagar. So that's kind of cool.
So what happens now with the new guy?
Well, you got to fit into it.
you better be Sammy Hagar's girth.
He's about 5'4", 150.
He's not 5'4".
And speaking of Ferraris, I have something else in common with our guest today.
What's that?
Besides running the ton,
right.
I also drove a rented Ferrari over 100 miles an hour in Las Vegas. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You could rent those. They still do.
I sent you a photo of the yellow one that I had.
I
had got up 100 or 120 out in the desert, and I thought it was going to fall apart because you could tell that thing was road hard and put away wet.
Absolutely.
Nevada Highway Patrol, you know where to find you.
Statute of limitations is not out of reach for him.
Yeah.
But, we were talking about this car that we saw on Bring a Trailer the other day, the 75 AMC Matador Oleg Cassini edition.
Oh, wow. Ooh, baby.
Yeah, we were talking about designer editions of cars. Yes. Lincolns were real popular with designer editions. They had the Bill Blass, the Gucci. Was there a Halston? No, there wasn't a Halston.
Givenchy?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
I didn't say that.
Bill Blass.
Yeah. Gucci.
Gucci, yeah.
Givenchy.
I believe so.
What about Hermes?
No.
They didn't have
No, but they...
Who else had designer cars like that?
I don't think anybody did, but Chrysler did have a Frank Sinatra edition.
They did have a Frank Sinatra edition.
Very
cool
car.
But it's funny that Lincoln kind of cornered the market on designer...
It's a co-branded.
Well, Ford in general with the Eddie Bauer and...
True. They carried that through. And the 75 AMZ Matador Oleg Cassini edition brought $29,000 on Bring a Trailer.
One
1800 built with a 360. So in 75, that was pretty good size engine. Of course, it only had 175. Horsepower.
Right.
Finished in classic black with copper interior and exterior highlights and copper carpeting.
Neat.
So
Very cool.
So that's all we got to talk about this week on the Classic Auto Mall Show. Another awesome show. And next week we're going to have a great guest, and we'll just tease you and say, if you like Ferraris, you'll like next week's guest.
Right.
And
be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can watch the shows as well with visuals.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic for sale, write us at info@ClassicAutoMall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
Ever since the first time you saw it, perhaps even as a child, you knew you wanted one. Now, you're at a point in your life where you have the means to buy and keep one. Your significant other is even in agreement. But where and how can you find one? And trust you know as much as you can about it before the purchase. That's why there's ClassicAutoMall.com. 1,000 classic vehicles of almost every conceivable make, model, and year. All under one climate-controlled roof. You can visit and look to your heart's delight. Or do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Shipping nearly everywhere worldwide, Classic Auto Mall can make your dream come true. Visit the World Wide Web at ClassicAutoMall.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.